Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Does the Bible promise you will be able to focus better in prayer if you fast? No. But fasting accomplishes something even greater.
What is fasting? It's a decision to go without food and other comforts for the purpose of humbling yourself. When is it appropriate? When do you fast? You do it in times of great sorrow and in times of especially intensive prayer and communion with God. One last question. Why fast? What do you accomplish? What are you trying to do? I mean, you're fasting, you're hungry, you're sitting there with a hunger pang, you think, what am I trying to accomplish here? What does fasting accomplish? Well, if it's the first kind of fast, the fast for sorrow, what you accomplish is simply this. You're cooperating with what God is doing by sending that sorrow into your life. One of the chief purposes of suffering and pain and sorrow in life is to humble us and to remind us how incapable we are of taking care of ourselves and how incapable we are of fulfilling that emptiness, and it teaches us how much we need God. And when you fast, that's a decision to say yes to all that purpose, what God is doing. You see that? Sorrow comes into your life, and that's God saying, you're weak, you're needy, you're dependent, you're in desperate need of me and me alone. And when we fast, we're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's a way of preaching to your soul. God says, you're weak, you're dependent, you're in need of me, and fasting is saying, are you catching this, soul? Are you picking up on this? Are you paying attention, body? Are you getting this? We're empty. God alone can fill us. And by the way, we should preach to our souls in that same way in times of joy. In times of joy, God is, when He brings joy into your life, when He brings wonderful circumstances into your life, what God is saying is, I have supplied you richly. And when we feast, we are saying to our souls, you getting this? I mean, soul, you seeing this? This is God. This is His bounty. This is His love. This is His kindness. You getting this? And so we feast, and that's a good thing. So, what does it accomplish if it's a fast of sorrow? It cooperates with what the Lord is doing when He brings that sorrow. Humbling the soul. What if it's the other kind of fast? The other kind, in prayer, the purpose of that is expressing earnestness, humility, and dependence in prayer. It doesn't necessarily make you pray better in the sense of you can concentrate more, right? The first time I ever fasted, a 24-hour fast, was in high school. Somebody told me that if you fast, then your mind just clears up and suddenly you can commune with God and you can concentrate in prayer. And I thought, wow, that's what I need because I can't concentrate in prayer very well. So I had a 24-hour fast. I spent 20 straight hours thinking about food and how hungry I was. The first four, I made it okay. But that did not make it easier for me to concentrate. It was very difficult for me to concentrate. It was 10 times more difficult to focus on prayer. I don't know of any passage in the whole Bible that promises you an increased ability to concentrate if you fast. Fasting isn't for the purpose of increasing your concentration. It just simply increases your weakness and your sense of neediness and dependence. And that's what God responds to. And it can also be a good memory cue. You know, a good reminder. Because if you're like me, you forget. I mean, you can have the most amazing insight in your morning devotions, and you can have this just soul-rattling moment of communion with God in your morning devotions, and then 1 hour later, it's the farthest thing from my mind because I'm engrossed in whatever it is I'm doing. And I just forget. And so the great thing about hunger pangs is they come along with just the right frequency to constantly remind you of what's going on. Oh, yeah, I'm humbling myself before God. I'm serious about this thing. And so if there's something in your life you're really, really serious about, fast. If you're asking for that from God, fast. Fast. And don't think of God as, you know, some kind of vending machine that can be manipulated and controlled through fasting or through any other ritual. I mean, David fasted, and he didn't get what he was asking for. Remember, he was asking for the baby to live, and the baby died. God is God, and he still reserves the right to say no, whether you fast or not. But generally speaking, in Scripture, that's an exception. Usually in Scripture, when someone fasts, God gives them what they're asking for. Why? Because fasting is some kind of magical formula that, you know, has power? No. The reason God is so responsive when people fast is not because of the fasting, it's because of the humility. It's because that humble, dependent heart that it produces. When fasting is used to humble your heart, that humble dependence on God is what God responds to, not the fasting. That's why if you don't do it to humble your heart, it's worthless. It's the humble heart. When God told the Israelites to attack the Benjaminites, it wasn't... Why did they lose those first two times? Did they lose because they were eating food? No, the food didn't make them lose. What made them lose was their self-confidence. They thought, oh, this would be a piece of cake, 11 against 1. We'll hammer them. And we don't need God. They didn't really feel very dependent on God. They didn't need a lot of help from God. And God says, okay, you're going to lose. And they try it again. Okay, you're going to lose. And this time, God, we really need you. Okay, now you're going to win. That's what it was. It wasn't the fasting. It was the result of the fasting, the humility. God already knows how humble and dependent we are. We don't need to show him that, but we need to show ourselves sometimes. We need to know how seriously we're taking something, how much earnestness is really there. When you're praying hard for something, you're grieving over some sin, you got maybe some sin in your life, you just cannot get past it. You cannot overcome it. It is a problem year after year. You just can't seem to get, and you beg God, take this away, deliver me. God, please, I'm serious about this. Well, how serious are you? Serious enough to fast? Does it drive you to fasting? If that question that I just asked makes you sit there and think, well, and you start hesitating because there's just something really yummy in the refrigerator, and once that's gone, then I could maybe fast, but I'm not. That shows you how earnest you really are, how much earnestness is really there. Well, what if you're just thinking, I don't know, Daryl, I don't know if I can do it. This is too hard. You might be thinking, I can't go without food. It's just so hard. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I can't do it. And everything in your system is just, it just thinks it's unthinkable. You just resist it. And this whole sermon, you've been sitting there just looking for some kind of a thing that'll make it so you don't have to fast. And that's the goal of the sermon. Just, Lord, show me something that tells me I don't have to do this. How do you get over that? How could you ever reduce your dependence on food so that if your heart ever did give an impulse, now's the time to fast, your stomach could say, okay, and not throw a fit? How do you reduce your dependence on food? And what is this reward? Why does Jesus offer a reward for fasting? What's that about? And what's the wrong kind of fast that keeps getting warned about all through Scripture? We'll plan on tackling all that next time.
Now that you've spent a few days learning about the purpose of fasting, spend a little time in prayer talking to God about what kinds of situations in your life call for fasting. And make a plan so that in times like that, fasting will be an option in your heart.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.